And perhaps we can look to the Lord. And our Father and God, we thank you that we're able to be and open your word in your presence. And our God, we think of all the sick and the weak, God, and those in need. Thank you for everything. Thank you for even Fred and each thing. Our God, it is our, just thank you. Thank you for your grace to us all. Even where they are, God, help them, encourage them. And our Father will thank you in all of it. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of in the light of God's word, if we can. Or the loose. Now, in the light of the day, I think it would pay just to review some basic things that need to be understood. Therefore, chapter 2 and in verse 17, 2 and 17. And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God did a wonderful, wonderful thing in saving, making us humans in order to be saved. And he formed us out of the dust of the ground. Now, and the word dust means the red, the brown earth. And I have some in here for you to see. Earth, brown earth, brown red. That's the little word red. Someone found it for me out when they were traveling. Red earth, yeah. Now, keeping that in mind, the red earth, if you would. That's what we are. That's what we really are. No. So, as we're honoring, looking at Mother's Day, keep this in mind, if you would. That's all of us. And so when all in our pride get up, when we're all done, we're going to go right back to this when we're done. This could be me. It takes a while. Maybe I don't want to think about it. I'm going to become this. I'm going to become this. So are you, if the Lord tarries. So we don't want to get too excited about us. We need to understand it's hard. And to honor people, honor days, honor mothers, etc. We need that in perspective. So let's do it a little bit. Chapter 3, we're made of the dust of the ground. And God in his wonderful grace went. Chapter 2, when God took out of Adam. Chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God formed a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought him forth unto the man. And God made a woman. Where did the woman come from? Out from man. Actually, man. Hang on to that. Out from man. And they were both, naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were wonderfully, wonderfully made in God's image and likeness, and God to enjoy God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, that's what they were. They were made of dust, but they were made, and had a wonderful body of dust. Why was the dust wonderful? Because God was there. God had set them apart to know him and to honor him. And so God's wonderful, wonderful presence in his most wonderful, wonderful way was to be honored. And they were naked. Sin comes along and changes that. But hang on to that. Now, chapter 3. Adam and Eve went, and ate of the tree, and Adam did of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate of the tree, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They never had that until they sinned. God was there. They had a unique, wonderful relationship to God that was would last forever and ever and ever. But when they sinned, they lost their relationship to God and they were naked. They knew they were naked. They knew what? They lost that relationship. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, verse 7. And they heard the voice, verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. So they covered themselves, they were naked, and they hid themselves. And God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And God knew where he was. And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why? Because you were naked. You lost your relationship to who I am, said God. And because I was naked, and I hid myself. The problem was, where's God? God was missing. That was the problem. And therefore they had to have a recovery. That's why you have God, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, before God created angels or anyone. God and his wonderful plan to create and for the universe and everything else, for God to do that, he was going to be honored. He was going to create man and have a wonderful plan to illustrate to the demons, the devil, and to the world that God is a wonderful, just, and merciful God, and he's able to save whosoever. So Adam and Eve are to enjoy that wonderful plan at square one. So chapter 3 and in verse 15. And I will put enmity. Let me get. Let me tell you. Verse 15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And I will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel, pointing to Calvary's cross. Now, why? What do they need? They're naked. They're missing God. So therefore, God has promised them a wonderful Savior born of the seed of the woman. And therefore God, what do we know? He's going to help them as they believe to have the benefits of Christ, of his death on the cross that hasn't happened yet. So therefore, what did he do? Verse 21, chapter 3. And the Lord said unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. He covered their nakedness not with some clothing. He covered them with a coat of skin of an animal slain. What are they going to do? They're going to be sacrificing. Chapter 4. Abel goes and has sacrifice. They're sacrificing animals, pointing to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the coats of skin on them, coveting their nakedness. Their nakedness is covered, covered, waiting the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, who then will be their covering. God's righteousness will then cover them again. What's God going to do? We're going to put away this earthly body we live in. We're going to put it away to have a new body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It can't do it. He's going to give you a new body. Adam and Eve lost it when they sinned. They had a unique relationship to God, and they lost it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and while you're looking here at chapter 3, remember that the result of Adam and Eve's sin is going to be what? Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee, etc., etc. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, what are we going to do? Us humans are going to come from Adam and Eve. In particular, us humans are going to come from the mother, the woman. Chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because, reason, she was the mother of all living. One mother. Out of Adam. Adam, in his most wonderful way, God created us humans. We're all found in Adam. And she is the mother. Every single human being born on planet Earth is from the womb of a mother. There's no other way. There's no other way, and no other way. You have to come from the womb of a mother. And thus our Lord, you know, I'll go there over. Hold your finger here, don't go away. Over to Galatians, if you can do that. And just to remind yourself, Galatians, and in chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, and just note, keep in mind, and when, verse 4, chapter 4, Galatians, verse 4, and when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. And the body thou hast prepared for me, Hebrews chapter 10. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. She came. Every human being has to come from a woman. So that's how we all got here, by way of a woman, in this most wonderful, wonderful way. And, but, all of that, chapter 3 and verse 16, etc., what are we all going to face? Sin, sorrow, and suffering. That's what we're born into the world of death. We're born dead spiritually. Sin, suffering, sorrow, we're born into it. That doesn't leave, so we can celebrate something for a moment, but then the reality of our existence is still there. You can't get rid of it. No matter what, you celebrate and going to do this and have fun, but only for a moment. And you got to start all over again, because this doesn't go away. And you know what from Genesis 3, back over to Genesis 3, and verse 19. Genesis 3 and verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, Unto dust thou shalt return. You can't overcome. You can't. There's no sense. You can play the game in any way you want. But when you're done, the realities are there. Man, woman, dust. That's what it is. Male, female, dust. You can play, people play with it now. That's making part of the problem. And like someone said, the world is living off of the little cell phones and computer laptops, whatever. They don't put them down. And they're living off of this. They aren't thinking. They don't think and understand. They're living, being bombarded with everything except understanding. And that's where we're at. Now, so dust they are, and dust it must go back to in its most wonderful way. And she's the mother. Now, keep in mind also, if you would, in chapter 5. And in chapter 5, and you will note. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. The word Adam and the word man, it's the same word. Adam, man. Male and female, verse 2, created he them. He blessed them and created and called their name Adam. There weren't two, one. Was it man, noun, masculine, singular? Adam. They're from. Where are we from? Adam. Adam. Where did the woman come from? Adam. Out of Adam. Adam. That's where she came from. What are you saying, God? The Lord Jesus Christ is the last Adam. And in the last Adam, all. Christ died for us all. The first Adam. That's where we all came from and belong to Adam. The last Adam dies to save us. And all that believe are to enjoy God's saving grace in the last Adam. Do you understand? Adam, it isn't. And God even tells you, Galatians in that, 3, is when you get saved in this age, there's no more male and female. It's all what? Centered in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose body we're going to have, his body. We're going to be like him. Like him. Like who? The Adam. The last Adam. We're going to be like him. Back to what? Adam and Eve, before they sinned, had a new relationship to God. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 20. And to remind us, Exodus chapter 20, and picking up, if I may. And you will note, Exodus chapter 20, you have the Ten Commandments. And when you come to Exodus 20, 12, you hit the first four have to do with our Lord, and the next part has to do with our relationship to humans that God creates. Verse 12, chapter 20, 12, honor thy father and thy mother. The reason, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God, thy God, giveth thee. Honor, to be honored. It's intensive. To regard one as worthy. The bridge. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's good. Mothers, fathers are humans. We're all the same. We belong all to the same group for that. But you had to under, how did you get here? You got here by way of your mother, by way of a human. You want to know why am I born? Why am I here? Is any of this true? Why am I? The answer to the question, God created you to know him in a most wonderful way. You aren't going to know him if you don't understand. If you don't honor your mother and father, they're the bridge to go from us humans to cross the bridge to get to God. Chapter 20, 1 through 11. You got to get to God. How am I going to get to God? Because I'm a human. I belong to the family of God. And the humans what? God, I need to understand that. Well, what do I need to do? I need to get back to God. Not back to some evolution or something. I need to get back to God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, the bridge, and God does that. So the absence of God makes for the absence of life and the absence of light. So God, in his wonderful, wonderful plan and his wonderful, wonderful way, has to outwork his wonderful, wonderful will in the way that he does it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would. So, here's the woman there. Now, what are we going to do? We know from Timothy that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Eve was the one that said, boy, maybe there's more to get more. That's what she did. But Eve is the one that told Adam to what? You want to take of this tree. We want to take of it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so woman is the key. If the key, the devil didn't go after Adam at first. Keep in mind, there's 1,000 pieces to this. Keep in mind, if you would, Adam, where does sin come from? The egg and the seed. The seed, man. God condemned not Eve, he condemned Adam. Adam. And Adam is the cause. The woman doesn't make the sin nature. The man does. And the man is responsible. Always responsible. The man did it. The man does it. Now, keeping that in mind. So we're guilty. Now, having said that, and understanding that, now, you know, a woman. And the woman has a great influence to flow out, to be an influence upon us in every way, to control. They do. They quietly, they just end up controlling. They don't understand. They do. Now, let me show you. If you had gunpowder way back when it came into being, influenced the way of war. The way of war was greatly influenced by gunpowder. It changed war. It changed it. Do you know these big tankers out there with oil and stuff? Huge things. Big things. They're big. Whoa, they're big. But do you know the big engine, all that? But it's the little rudder that steers the ship. Big motor doesn't do anything. Power, it's the rudder that steers the ship down the corridor of time, out in the ocean. A little rudder, gunpowder, the influence. Satan's choice was Eve. Satan's choice is the woman. Use the woman. Why? Because where did we come from? We didn't come from the man. We came from the woman. That's where we came from. So therefore, Satan uses that in a most awesome way. And therefore, to order over all through history, you know, way back with Israel and all that, how do you corrupt Israel? By bringing in idolatry from the women that they married, and they brought it in, and like Solomon, etc., and married. And it brought many, many, many views, many things. And they lost their relationship to God And thus the Babylonian and Assyrian captivity took place. So now, so here's Satan's wonderful, wonderful, awesome influence, I should say. And he did that with the daughters of Moab in Numbers 25, et cetera, et cetera. And in the book of Ezra, he used women again. We got why? Because that's the way to sidetrack the man, to sidetrack the whole system, to lose it. We lose Adam. What do I mean? We lost Christ. The Virgin, we don't have to get Virgin Mary. We got the woman, the woman, the woman, the woman. We lose Christ. We lose Christ. Christ, the man, Adam. Adam is the one. Not the first Adam. He gets us in trouble. It's this last Adam that saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, keeping that in mind, as you would know, I'll go over just to see it in two places that are rather outstanding. Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, you know, the church in Thyatira. And chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in the process. And in chapter 2, going, if I can, chapter 8, verse 18, sliding down. Verse 19, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience in thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now, that's the way it is, and you know it. I don't have to get into pornography, all of that stuff. It's just there. So, over if I can, over to chapter 17. And you know these things from Wednesday and that, mysteries. In chapter 17, when the World Council of the Churches and all these things get together, come together, what do we have? Chapter 17, picking up, if I may. And you'll notice, verse 1, and there came out of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee things, thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So here's our religious system. We don't talk of the religious system as a male. We talk of the religious system as a female. And thus, when you come down to verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. So, we know that what? God is going to go in his wonderful kindness, and he lets all of this happen, and all of it's there, and it's to get us off base, to get us tied up, looking at ourselves, looking at each other, and going out trying to figure out the thing in the world, and the world is what? The world's caught up in what? From Muslims to every way you want to go. All kinds of ways, China, name the country, and understand it, you know it. So what do we got? We got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior, but a world that is dead set against being saved. And therefore, in God's wonderful kindness, God has done something that's very, very wonderful for us. Over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, if I can, picking up, and you'll catch it as you know. 1 Peter and chapter 1, and you'll run. What do we have? We're to go and understand that we come to know the Lord as our Savior, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. In the process of saving us in his wonderful way, we become understanding. Let me just, so you tie it together. Chapter 1, picking up if I can. And you'll notice, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So that's God looking at a human. He knows we're dust. He knows we're going back to dust. He knows that. We don't know it. We don't even want to think about it. But we know it. We know it. So therefore looking to God, that's where we're going to go. You can do whatever you want. And you can search, you'll never find anybody except maybe a pharaoh with an entomb somewhere. They're all going to be dust. Everybody's dust. Adam is dust. Eve is dust. David is dust. Moses is dust. Everyone. So we got big ass humans. But no more. So God, in your wonderful kindness, you know what we're like, and you died to save us in your most wonderful way. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we're looking to God's word, to understand God's word, to have the benefit of God's word in a most wonderful way. The good news. Therefore, in the having the good news, sliding down, chapter 2, if I can, wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom you believed, you got saved, you're trusting God as a believer, and what do you need to know? As coming unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected, indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. The word precious, in honor, in honor, in honor. To be valued, to worth, to give worth, to give value. Preciousness, precious, precious honor, especially so. So what are we looking at? To whom God willing, chosen, and God is a bit, but God is chosen of God and precious. So when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I received that which is precious and honors God. What do we need to do? We come to know the Lord as our Savior. And now, how do we come to know the Lord? Because God created us and died on the cross to save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, sliding over, if I can, to chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, being received by tradition from your fathers. So our normal way of tradition doing things, we do them. But it doesn't do anything. It doesn't stop sin, sorrow, suffering. It doesn't stop. No. So God, what did you do? You did something wonderful because of our condition of needing to be saved. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and that your faith and hope might be in God. So we're looking for what? We're looking to have, be honored. We're looking to have value. We're looking to have reason to get out of bed. You're going to have good days, bad times. You have them. But you need to have something that's in the middle, right down to carry you. So when you're up, you're going to stay. You got a safety so you don't get, boy, everything's going to be good. No, everything isn't going to be good. And when things are bad, everything isn't going to be bad. You have a middle, a nice, steady flow when you're going down the corridor of time. So what I understand, what makes you valuable? Because I'm a mother, because I'm a father, because of why? Because he is precious. He is your life. He is your life, isn't he? The life you now live in the flesh as a believer is his. It's his life. That's what you're seeking to understand and to enjoy. It isn't your life. Your life is crucified. He gave you his life. So that what? That is what's precious. That is what? His life for all of us in Adam. We all are out of Adam, and we all are, and God has saved us in the last Adam, all of us that would believe. So therefore, we're looking for God. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious, precious indeed. So now, taking down chapter 2, ye also, as living stones, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We have a unique relationship. We have a unique relationship to God. And we are a spiritual stone, living stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, spiritual sacrifices. We have a unique practice of enjoying God in a wonderful God kind of way. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. There's the word, keeps reading, precious, precious, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So we're resting in God. Now where is the consistency going to be? We're resting in God's wonderful provision. God gave us a wonderful relationship to himself. That's precious. And we're to enjoy that relationship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everything could be good, but you're staying here, safe. Stay steady. You're trusting. It isn't because everything, a good day, a bad day. No, you're trusting God. Bad days, but you're trusting God. Not for the bad days, not for the good days. You're trusting God for his wonderful what? He is precious, and he made you precious in his preciousness, in his wonderful honor. He's given you that, an honor that our traditional days, mothers and all the rest of them, they never match up. We're going to have Memorial Day soon. We have those days. Now, they meant something back somewhere, but all of that disappears. It doesn't mean much. The mothers that used to have 50, 60, 70 years ago aren't there today. Different mood, different time. Yeah. We're coming down as we go down the corridor of time, going downhill. Now, having said that, in God's wonderful grace, so God, we need to be believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. There it is. He's precious. Uh-huh. That's what makes the day. That's what makes you valuable. That's what makes you precious in his preciousness. so that you want my body's failing and dwelling? Yes, it is. But it isn't about your body. Your body is what? Meant to go back to this dust. That's where it is. God isn't going by that. He did a wonderful thing. He took your body and cross and died so that what? You could be clothed with his covering, with his righteousness in a very wonderful, wonderful way to honor him. Therefore, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The stone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, it being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. In other words, people don't want to be. They don't want to have him. They're looking for preciousness like we shared in Sunday school a little bit. We're looking for that. What are we here for? We're here to what? To get something straight in our little old life that puts things together so that we aren't coming around hoping I get a little job, my home, my family, my friends. You're trusting everything. All of the, whatever you're trusting is up and it's down. It's good, it's bad. It doesn't stay. You're trusting stuff that you can't hold on to. You can't hold it. No matter how, I don't care who you are, you can't hold it. You could be a billionaire. Be a billionaire, that's a lot. But you can't stop cancer. You can't stop anything, can you? You can't stop it, no matter who you are. You can do a lot of things, but you can't stop where you're going. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And God died on the cross. So that you would want, that you would, that's why he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall live. Do you believe, John 11, 25, 26, do you believe you'll never die? I am your life, and it never stops. This is going to happen, but I'm going to give you a whole new body that is not like this. Adam and Eve, if they didn't sin, it would have been all right, but they did sin. So therefore, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17, picking down to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people. That purpose you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, that's what we're doing. That's what we celebrate. That which you hang on to. That's what gives you consistency. That's what helps you. Not how old you get, how body or anything else. You're going to have that. It's consistent. To give you a consistent, see, going down the corridor of time. Where is my life? In this body, physically, yes. But my life, when I receive Christ as my Savior, he's the last Adam, and he died to save me. When I receive him as my Savior, he makes my life precious in his preciousness. That's why I'm able to go down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and in chapter 1, I'll read verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, where through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great, and there's your little word again, precious promises. Highly valued, wonderfully influential in our life. Wow. He's given us his precious promises. Why? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You would be able to enjoy a unique relationship to God as you go through time, a moment-by-moment walk, always having life. Always, no matter, times are up, and times are down. Now, and in the process. So therefore, mothers and all of us, women, ladies, men, boys, the preciousness is that God made you to enjoy him forever in a unique relationship, that you would be able to be holy and without blame in his presence and enjoy eternity, timelessness, and you make sure what? And all of that, it makes you very, very precious and makes him very, very precious to you. Do you know? And therefore, what are we doing? Mothers, and all of us had to come from a mother. And in the process, we point upward. And now, again, using my cemetery, and it is Mount in Cambridge, Mass. Somerville. It's right near Cambridge, Massachusetts, Mount Auburn Cemetery. And in that cemetery is this not very much of a piece of marble, not a fancy, just an ordinary piece of stone. And on the stone is a hand. A hand is on the stone. When you look at the stone, you see a hand, and the fingers pointing up. And underneath the hand is mother. That's all that's on the stone. Up, mother. That's her purpose, to point you to God. Where did we come from? We came from a woman. And the woman is pointing us back to the last Adam, to Christ himself. You gotta know, he's precious. That's what makes you precious. That's what makes us precious. It isn't us. We're just this. That's not us. It's silly. It's him. It's our God and Savior. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness as we sit and consider your wonderful person. In this awesome day, daughters, remember those wonderful things of being born of a woman. And that's a wonderful thing, God. Making us all very, 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 very profitable, pleasing to you. So, God, help us. We just want to understand, God. So we're trying to find value, reason why we get out of bed, go to bed, go through the hard things, the easy things. God, because you in us, in the believing heart, make us very, very precious to you. And you make us very precious to you. You make us precious to yourself, and we find your preciousness making us precious. God, we're nobody, but in Christ Jesus our Lord, we become partakers of your wonderful nature, to be able to know and honor you, and that's very, very precious, God. That's what gives us value. Thank you, Spirit of God. Put it together. Help us a little bit to understand a little bit better. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.